commandment, the Ten Commandments, is thou shall not steal. Again, we see the Eighth Commandment has to do with our neighbor. Who is our neighbor? Our neighbor, when we think, is the next door guy, next door neighbor. No, your neighbor is wherever you are, the next person to you. Can be at work, maybe on the street, the shop, wherever you are, the next person is your neighbor. Usually when we casually look at this commandment, we believe this commandment doesn't apply to me. It only applies to a thief who breaks homes, banks, and involved in armed robbery. We see in a horizontal way and see that this is from perspective of man. From the perspective of man, we see a thief is a person who usually we see somebody who got caught in robbing a bank. But I'm not like other thieves. I'm good. But by the grace of God, we are going to expose this commandment, as we will see the full counsel of this commandment, and we'll see that we are all guilty in breaking this commandment, that our hearts will be convicted, and we would even come closer to Christ in confessing the sins, that we would embrace the righteousness of Christ. Thou shalt not steal comes from the lips of the Lord Almighty. It is a commandment. The day you break this commandment, deserve punishment and death. Because God is not a God that we can put in a little box or in a little statue. God is Almighty God. He is infinitely holy. His words are holy, and He is the judge of the universe. God commands us to keep all His commandments. Stealing is a horrible sin, and it deserves death. A thief is not going to inherit the kingdom of God. The punishment is going to be everlasting punishment in hell. If you turn with me to 1 Corinthians 6:10, it says here, thieves are not going to inherit the kingdom of God, basically. Nor thieves, nor cowards, nor drunkards, revilers, extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, who is a thief? A thief, how do you define a thief? Somebody who steals another person's property or any possession that doesn't belong to him, and he will do it knowingly and without the knowledge of the owner. That's a thief. And we know since the fall of man, man has made material things his God. The treasures of this earth has become the God of man today. I mean, more, they love money. Jesus said you cannot serve two masters. And Jesus said, wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart is going to be. So because of sin, man wants to get more and more of this treasure. He is greedy, and he wants to take it in an easy way, that is, to get somebody's treasure by stealing. And they lie to get it. And they rob, steals. They even practice usury and sin against God. And we see this in the story of Achan, if you can remember, how God told the Israelites when they captured Jericho, Ai, they are not supposed to go and get anything. But Achan went and got a beautiful jacket, and he stole that, and he never told anybody. And the whole judgment fell upon the Israelites. and Achan was stoned to death for stealing. So stealing deserves death. And if you can remember Gehazi, we are going to read that later, how he betrayed his master, Elijah, and God punished him with leprosy. Think about Judas, who betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. So, stealing is a very abominable sin to God, because it has to do with your own life and your salvation. Now, the causes of stealing or thefts are internal and external. The internal sin, it is internal and external, inward and outwardly. Okay? The internal sin is that the person who is stealing really don't believe in God. Really don't trust in God. They will say, oh, I believe in God, but when they steal, they are not really trusting in God's word. The Israelites, good example. They saw the miracles of God, right? When they were delivered from the Red Sea, from the enemy of the Egyptians. They were eyewitnesses of God's miracles. Yet there was unbelief in them. How the psalmist say they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God. They lusted after other things. And they asked, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? So unbelief of God's word will cause the thief to do his own will against God's will. Then unbelief, you know, it's really, it goes above God's authority. And he's greedy. And the root of this sin is covetousness. External cause of this sin is Satan's influence. You remember Jesus said Satan, he comes to kill, to steal, he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And how Satan stole mankind, from a lie. How Satan entered into Judas. And he can come like a roaring lion, or he can come like an angel of light. And he comes to steal and to destroy souls. And he is the mastermind behind this operation. Now, let us see some of the categories that fall into sin. The first one I see is stealing from God. Stealing from God. Just imagine how a lot of people today, they steal from God. And you might ask, how can a person steal from God? Malachi chapter 3 verse 8 says, will a man rob God? Malachi 3:8. Says, can a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. That's stealing. But you say, how have you robbed thee? Then God says, in tithes and offerings. Now that's stealing. How can you say, how did I rob God in tithes and offerings? Let me tell you. God gave you life. He gave you a job. He gave you a house. He gave you material things, clothes and everything. And the money that you earn is not yours. It is God's. And if you are not giving an offering to the church, you are robbing God. You are a thief. That's basically what it says here. Now, tithes and offerings were required in the Old Testament for what? For the service of the sanctuary. If you can remember, in the days of Hezekiah, there was a reformation. And during this Reformation, the greatest excitement we see was how people brought tithes and offerings. When there was a Reformation, people got excited and they brought tithes and offerings. You can see this, you can write it down, 2 Chronicles chapter 31, 5 and 6. But this was neglected during the time of Amos and Malachi. Why tithes and offerings are required is the priest does not work. But the priest's job is to serve God and he is to dedicate his service to the Lord. And the tithes and offerings are given to take care of the service of God and to take care of the priest's needs. In the New Testament, the word tithing is not there, but the principle still exists. The substance is still there. If you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13. Excuse me. Apostle Paul said, 1 Corinthians 9, 13, "Do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple, and those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the altar?" Verse 14 says, "Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel." And here we see the ministers need to be taken care of. That's why we give tithes and offerings, because they preach the gospel. But today, we see the statistics. 80% of the people in the United States, they say they are Christians, and 80% don't give tithings. Only 20% give tithings, according to statistics. But 80%, they say, we're Christians, but they don't, you know, they don't give tithings. They don't support the local church. This is stealing. It's robbing from God. I tell you, if it was in the Old Testament, how much more it should be in the New Testament? Because we know the whole, we know the entire gospel now. It's been revealed to us. So our money should be given liberally. Because we don't own anything. Everything belongs to God. So we need to give first of your income to your local church. And if you are getting convicted in a church of your sins, and if you are growing in that church, and you need to give an offering to the Lord. And if you don't, then you are robbing from God. Because the ministers of God, they labor to give you spiritual food. They study diligently. They labor. They struggle. And it's not easy. They take a lot of time in studying. Why? To feed you good spiritual food. And they should taste those labor, what they are doing. It is important. They should taste the fruit of their labors. And when I was in the Philippines, I'll never forget these things. These are little things that happened. I was ministering in a rural area, in Toledo area, very poor area, and the pastor is very poor. And I see how the poor people come and support the pastor with food. And when I was in the Philippines, in Lotopan area, I can see there was a time that we were struggling financially. And every week we were wondering, we didn't have bus fare to go to preach in that mountain area in Lotopan. But Pastor Lando, he made sure, he always put some money in my pocket. I'll never forget that. I know I was an American living very poor in the Philippines. But I remember they gave out of their extreme poverty, they gave with overflowing joy. And this is so important that we, a lot of people, they rob God. This is a heinous crime, stealing from God. Second thing I say is robbing God of His honor. If you remember Pharaoh, he did not honor God. He wanted Him to be honored. He did not listen to God's word, and he wanted that honor for himself. There are so much many religions. How? Christ. All the glory should go to Christ. And today we see, especially in Roman Catholicism, how Mary is honored, how Pope is being honored, and idols are being honored. Isaiah, if you turn with me to Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8. It says here, I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another. Nor my praise to be carved images. God's, He gets all the glory, not to anybody else. And today in reality, we see there are so many pastors and ministers who like to receive honor and praise. They want to be the center. And they will do all, in their preaching, they will do all kinds of humor and make people laugh and jokes for people to laugh. And this is not from the spirit, this is from the flesh. And then people, they would like to hear the jokes because it's so pleasing to their flesh. And you need to remember, the worldly salesmen do the same thing when they give a presentation. These ministers love to receive praises from the people, and they love to get honor. How many times we love to get praises when it belongs to God? The pastors are the most vulnerable in this sin. Many times when a sermon is finished, someone at the church will tell the minister, "Wow, that was a great sermon." And instead of giving glory to God, and they say, "Thank you." I'll never forget how there was an instance when John Bunyan was preaching a sermon, and after he preached the sermon, a woman came to John Bunyan and said, "Wow, that was a wonderful sermon. I was much blessed." John Bunyan said, "Woman, you're too late. The devil told me that before. You said it. The devil always tries to tell you how good you are in your preachings, how wonderful you are." And I'll tell you, we need to realize that we are an earthen vessel, and all the glory goes to God alone. There's nothing that a pastor can preach is not for the grace of God. So everything should go for God's glory. Okay, how about the third one? Third one is robbing God of His time. Robbing God of His time. Remember the Sabbath day to keep holy, the Lord's day, today. Not a part of the day, but the whole day must be dedicated to God. After morning worship, a lot of people, they spend their, come to morning worship, and after that they spend it in pleasure, in vanity. This is a spiritual theft. It's a spiritual theft. It robs God of His time that is due to Him. There are many who will go to church on Sunday. As soon as the church is done, the service is done, they go to their worldly business and spend everything to the devil. The rest of the day is gone to the devil. That's robbing God of His time that is due to Him. There are Sabbath breakers who rob God of His day. That's stealing. Can you see how the word, when it says, "Thou shalt not steal," it goes beyond and beyond and beyond. And that's why we need to really dig into the word and study hard and what it says there and take it to our heart. Number four is stealing souls. Stealing souls. There are so many false teachers and heretics who come and steal souls with deceptive false teachings. There are many cults who will come in the name of Jesus and they deny the true gospel of Jesus Christ. They have another gospel. They will even use the scriptures and they will persuade you. And then you will be, "Wow, this looks good." But if very pleasing to the flesh, many who are weak in doctrine, many who are weak and ignorant can be very gullible to this kind of teachings. You remember Jesus said, Matthew chapter 7, "Beware of false prophets who will come. They are wolves who will come in sheep's clothing." And how Apostle Paul warned the Ephesian church, "After my departure, grievous wolves will come among you and not sparing the flock." And if you remember 2 Timothy 4:3, it says, "The last times, last days, people will not endure with a sound doctrine, but they will go after their own lusts, as they want to hear what many teachers want to give, what their itching ears want to hear." Number five is ministers stealing money from the people. The pastors, the ministers, stealing money from the congregation. There are many church thieves today. They should be hung up and put to death. They make money out of the Bible. They make money from the people. They are smooth talkers. They will use the word of God and they will look very innocent, as they are very good actors. They will have much emotions. And they will strip your wallet and make you convict and guilty, as they seldom preach the true gospel. And they will starve you to death, and they will be filled in their stomach and live in luxury. These pastors, there are so many today, rampant in our country. You can see on television, on radio, and everywhere in churches, how they steal money from the people. This is stealing. Breaking the eighth commandment. If you turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 34, chapter 34, verse 2. "And the word of the Lord," verse 1, "where the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel." These are pastors, ministers. "Prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God to the shepherds, Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock?" Then verse 3, "You eat the fat and clothe yourself with wool. You slaughter the fatlings, but you do not feed the flock. The weak you have not strengthened, nor have you healed those who were sick, nor bound up the broken, nor brought back that was driven away, nor sought what was lost. But with force and cruelty you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd." And see verse 8. As I live, says the Lord God, surely, because my flock became prey and my flock became food for every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, nor did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and did not feed my flock. I'll tell you, you can see this today happening, how people are getting rich from the Bible. Stealing money from the people. They live in luxury, these pastors, yet they use the word of God. And they are greedy for money. They become rich. Their ambition is to profit from the church and to gain money for themselves. They are thieves in the sight of God. We can have a special subject on this, but it is happening. And Proverbs, they lie to the people. Proverbs chapter 21 verse 6 says, the getting of treasures by a lying tongue is vanity, tossed to and fro of them that seek death. Proverbs 21:6. And also 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 2, Peter warns the pastors who are preaching. 1 Peter 5:1. The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Verse 2, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. How many are preaching today for dishonest gain? Support this ministry. We will send you a gift. If you do not, you can. All kinds of sales talks are there today in the ministry, in the church. There are so many. You can go to seminars, to get more people. Worldly seminars, pastors go to get more people. How to get rich? How to build your church? How to make more money in the church? Okay, let's go to the other one. Number 6 is stealing from the government. Stealing from the government. Jesus said in Mark chapter 12 verse 17, render to Caesar the things that belongs to Caesar, and to God that the things belongs to God. How can people steal from the government? Not paying taxes. If you are not paying taxes to the government that you owe, you're cheating. You're stealing that is due to them. There are so many today that cheat on taxes. They won't tell the truth because they want to get that extra money, greediness again. There are many who will use even different names, different social security numbers. And they will say, how can I get more money? And they will do all kinds of crafty things, not to pay money, but to get more money. And these people are thieves in the sight of God. They are not honest. They are stealing money from the government. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 11 says, Leviticus 19:11 says, you shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. Okay, let's go to number 7. I got a whole list here, so I got to go a little bit fast. Stealing anything from your neighbor. If anyone steals any personal things from another person, It could be money, it could be any kind of possession, clothing or anything. You're a thief. Basically, that's what it is. And so, if you steal anything, even big or small, or little, you're a thief. Number 8, taking advantage from your neighbor. Number 8, we have a selfish attitude, always trying to gain something from your neighbor, and cheating your neighbor, then you're a thief. First Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 6. One should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Proverbs 21 verse 10 says, the soul of the wicked desires evil, his neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes. So there are some who will try to, you know, be selfish again, greedy, try to get everything that can profit them from your neighbor. And, you know, anything greedy and profit them for their own selfishness, that is stealing. Okay. Now, let's go to number 9. Dishonest merchants. We see this everywhere. Dishonest merchants. They will lie, they will cheat their customers to get that extra buck. You know, especially on, I guess, television advertisements. Everything. Whatever you can do to get that extra buck, they will do everything. They will use false weights and measures, and, you know, this is stealing. Amos chapter 8 verse 5, if you turn with me, 5, says, when will the new moon be passed, that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath, that we may trade wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel large? Trying to cheat there, you see. Falsifying the scales by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, even sell the bad wheat. Here you go again, how there are so many merchants who try to trick the people. How about high interest? There are so many who will overcharge and overprice their customers. See, that's happening all the time. It's always a gimmick, huh? Every time you say something free, there are a lot of hidden stuff. I get some free stuff, I don't know how they get my name. At the end, I get a bill. And it's amazing. This is stealing. They cheat the poor. They cheat the innocent for their own gain. If you remember Zacchaeus, the tax collector, he was a tax collector, he was a sinner. But when he was converted, what did he do? He admitted of his sin, and he took that bag of money where it was sitting, and he said, Lord, I have sinned. Now I will give this back to the poor, what I have stolen. So that's cheating. High interest. Exodus chapter 22 verse 25, we said that if you thou lend money to any of the people that is poor, thou shalt not be to him an usurer, neither shalt thou lay upon him usury. Many people have become so poor because of high interest they had to pay. They are getting richer and richer, and many people are becoming poor. Why? Because of the high interest. How about bribery? Huh? Number 10. And if you are getting rich from the poor, If you're getting rich from the poor, taking money as a bribe, then you're stealing. Psalms chapter 15, verse 5. Who does not put his money at usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent, he who does these things shall never be moved. How about purchasing things from a credit card, but you cannot pay? If you're always purchasing materials, things from a credit card, and you know that you cannot pay, you're stealing. When I was an Armenian, one lady told me, every year I go to the Philippines on my credit card. I know this lady, she's an old lady. Every year I go to the Philippines on my credit card. I know when I'm old, I'm going to die, and I know I cannot pay this. So why not? I take use of my credit card. I know I don't have to pay. One of these days I'm going to die. I'll tell you, this is a sin. This is your thinking about your own selfish gain. You're greedy. Because you know you're not going to pay. That means you're a thief. Psalm 37 verse 21. There's a good scripture here. Psalm 37 verse 21. Here it is. The wicked borrows and does not repay, but the righteous show mercy and gives. How many people go bankrupt because they keep on buying and buying and buying on their credit cards? Everything they see, the lust of the eyes, the greediness, credit card. At the end, you become so poor. Because you know you cannot pay. And you have not one credit card, or bunch of them at the end. Think about it. This is the word of God. It gives us direction and guidance how to walk in this life. Many souls have been pierced because the mind is the root of all evil. Apostle Paul said. How about not paying correct wages for the employees? If you're not paying your employees the just wages that is really due to them, and withholding their wages, their money, you're a thief. You're a thief from the sight of God, right? Just like Chris said, on the other hand, if the employee is not really working hard for the employer, going to the break 5 minutes before, coming another 5 minutes after, you're stealing time. You're stealing money. You're a thief. What are the applications we see? We need to enjoy love, justice, and righteousness. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 3. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than a sacrifice. God doesn't want your sacrifices. God wants justice and righteousness. Proverbs 21:3. To be diligent at our work, what we have earned. And if you have been stealing before, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28 says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands. So we need to work hard, and we need to eat what we have earned. And living not in a very luxurious lifestyle and rich, but we need to live moderately. These are good practical things. Titus 2:12 says that teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That is, not luxuriously rich. We need to honor the poor. We should not show favoritism towards the rich and the famous. Okay, and James said, if you see a man coming to the church with a gold ring and very nice appearance, and you know, and then a poor man comes, you totally ignore the poor man and tell the poor man, you sit over there, and you rich man sit over here, give him a nice. Nice comfortable chair. That's not right. And we need to be content what we have. Godliness with contentment is great gain. 1 Timothy 6:6. For we did not bring anything into this world, did we? We came naked, and we certainly cannot take anything when we die. That's for sure. So we need to be satisfied with what we have. The golden rule is this. Matthew chapter 7, verse 12. 7:12. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. What he's saying here is, do not take advantage of your neighbor or have selfishness or for your own profit. If someone says to you, just imagine if you are poor, then someone comes to you and says, you're really poor and you don't have much food and you are really poor in struggling. Someone comes and tells you, well, I'm going to pray for you. Keep warm and safe. I'll see you later. That's what he says. Therefore, all things whatever that we should do to men, okay. Whatever you want men to do to you, you should also do to them. And Christ came to teach us. We need to remember, we need to have the feeling as the other person, what the other person is going through. And that's why instead of greediness, instead of, you know, covetousness, trying to get everything and to become selfish, you only think about yourself, Only yourself, that's it. I don't care what others think. I want to think about myself. That's not Christian. That's not Christian. So Christ came to teach us not only what we should know. He didn't come to teach us not only what we should believe, but He also came to teach us what we ought to do. Not only towards God, but also towards men. This is the golden rule of equity. What do you mean by equity? Means equal, fairness, just, righteousness. To do to others as we would they should do to us. And this is grounded on that great commandment, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Let's take a little, let's end with this story. If you turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 20. A little background, what happened. There's a rich man, his name was Naaman, and he was a commander of the king's army in Syria, and he had leprosy. And so when he had leprosy, God chose Elisha to go and heal this man. And this man, what Elisha told was, dip in the river 7 times, Jordan River, and you will be healed. So Naaman, he was very reluctant to do that, but eventually he was obedient to Elisha's command, and he dipped in the river 7 times, and behold, he was healed. Then Naaman wanted to give some gifts to Elisha. Man, you're a man of God. And he wanted to give some gifts to Elisha, and Elisha refused. Now Elisha had a servant, his name was Gehazi. Now, we'll pick up the story from verse 20. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, "Look, my master has spared Naaman the Syrian, while not receiving from his hand what he brought. But as the Lord lives, I will run after him and take something from him." He said, "Well, Elisha refused. Let me run after him. I'm going to get that gift." He was greedy. And he says he was a man of God. That means this is happening in the church. So Gehazi, verse 21, he pursued after Naaman. When Naaman saw him running after him, he got down from the chariot to meet him and said, "Is everything okay?" You know, he was surprised. "Why are you coming after me? Is everything all right?" Then verse 22, he said, "All is well. My master has sent me, saying, indeed, just now, 2 young men of the sons of the prophets have come to me from the mountains of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver and 2 changes of garment." Say, "Can you please give some money to these guys, you know?" So Naaman said, "Please take." And he urged him and bound 2 talents of silver and 2 bags, 2 changes of garment, and handed him 2 of his servants, and they carried them on ahead of him. When he came to citadel, he took from their hand and stole them away in the house. Then he let the men go, and they departed. So when he came to citadel, he took everything what was given to them for himself. This is what? Treachery, trickery, cheating, lying, greediness, selfish ambition. Everything you see here, this is stealing. Now, verse 25, he went in and stood before his master Elisha. How can you go with a straight face when you did something like that? So he stood. Then, of course, God revealed this to Elisha, and Elisha said, "Where did you go, Gehazi?" And he said, "Your servant did not go anywhere." Of course, we see when you steal, then comes lying. One thing after the other, it's a chain of sins will follow after one sin. Then verse 26, then he said to him, "Did not my heart go with you when the man turned back from his chariot to meet you?" Elisha was a prophet, right? So God revealed this to him. "I saw it. Is it time to receive money and to receive clothing? Olive groves and vineyards, sheep and oxen, male and female servant. Therefore the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and your descendants forever." And he went out from his presence, leprous as white as snow. See the punishment? This is where some people want to be so much, this greediness in stealing. How can I get that extra money? He refused. Let me go after that. Isn't this world what the world is teaching us today? How to become wealthy, rich, and be happy? Jesus said, There are two roads. Many will take the broad road because it's so tempting to the flesh. But few will take the narrow road, which is so difficult to take, because you got to deny your flesh. You got to deny yourself and pick up the cross and carry. That is not easy. That's why I always tell, I praise the Lord for the doctrines of grace. I'm so excited. At the same time, we need to do what we believe. Let's pray.